We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Two down, two to go. Welcome in to our third hour of Sports Talk. Bobby and Christian here, along with Mark Bernard at Master Control. Every Wednesday until the NFL draft at the end of April, we're going to visit with our guy, NFL draft analyst, Mike Dettillier. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, so Ja'Marr Chase had himself a day. Do you see any scenario where he gets past Cincinnati at five?
Man, that's a tough one. And we're going to find out how much stroke Joe Burrow has real quick. Now, this was a team with a veteran quarterback with some skins on the wall. And he says, that's who I want in round one.
Right.
Management would start to, yeah, I get it. But this is the Bengals. And here's the big question mark I have with it. I got to keep Joe upright. Okay. And I think him and Ja'Marr would make a great team at quarterback receiver. But if Penei Sewell's there.
The tackle from Oregon, right?
Yeah, okay. Now, what do you do? Because, you know, you thinking about his long-term health as a player, can you say, okay, this is a pretty deep draft at tackle, which it is, and it's a really deep draft at receiver. So you got to weigh the options here. But we're going to find out just how much stroke Joe Burrow has, because I think just looking back on what the Bengals have done in the past, I think they would lean toward Penei. I think they would lean toward the lineman. And understanding you've got to build that mountain around Joe
and the
to give him an opportunity to throw it.
Yeah, look the way the Saints are structured. Now, you can look at the different receivers that Drew Brees has had, but the one thing, Mike, we've talked about this, offensive defensive line, are you winning and losing in the trenches? I mean, to me, that was outstanding. You could go all through the history, like, you know, well over a dozen years, 15-plus, when you look at Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead. You look at Carl Nix, Jari Evans. You look at all the centers. I mean, Drew Brees had a lot of success. Do we really have any, like, superstar, all-pro, Pro Bowl-type receivers? Drew would spread the ball around. But so that's why, Mike, being the quarterback and playing that position, give me the guy that I know is going to win and give me that extra, like, 1,000, you know, in the pocket. Now,
okay,
I know
so
you
I'm
want explosive receivers, but that's what I would do.
If you would say, okay, what should we do? You just told me the answer.
The tackle.
You would say, give me Penei Sewell. You know, protect me. It helps out the running game. And listen, Joe Mixon's a good running back. I mean, they give him a little bit of a chance. He's a really good running back. But, again, we've all seen quarterbacks with stroke sort of say, hey, this is what I want, and sort of get it to me. And that's the thing here. And that was the toughest thing when you're trying to do a mock draft of kind of gauging where you go with this. Because if you look back in the past, really, it would lean more toward Penei, the big tackle from Oregon.
So Mike, Ja'Marr. I have a question. Like, he's now with the Cardinals, I believe, A.J. Green. You remember they got him at University of Georgia? But that's a household name at a receiver for the Bengals. But they haven't had too many. Ocho Cinco back in the day. But you look at the Bengals receivers, A.J. Green would be one. There was Andy Dalton. He was at a high level. Was he a late first round? Where was he? A middle first round? Where was A.J. Green, if you can recollect?
No, he was a high first round pick.
Okay, all right.
But again, you go back to Chad. He was a second-round pick.
Okay.
And last year, they used the second-round pick on T. Higgins.
And that was that was a good pick, right?
And he was a good pick. He's a good football player. And this draft class, similar to a year ago, is pretty thick at receiver. And so I can get somebody there. But also, I'll flip it because I can make the argument. It's pretty thick early on along the offensive tackle route. So, I mean, Joe might be, you know, using a little bit of leverage here to try to get it. Now, Jamar, I always look at pro days this way. No matter how it's timed or everything else, you're trying to match what they do on a pro day to what they do on a football field. And Bobby, old buddy Jim Finks told me this years ago. He said, if I give you one bit of advice, it's this. Don't fall in love with the athlete. Fall in love with the football player. And you know, if it matches, it matched perfectly with Jamar. Jamar, I've done this over 30 years. He's the best college receiver to come out of LSU that I've graded.
So you would say even better than, obviously, Odell Beckham or Jarvis Landry?
Better than Beckham, better than Jarvis. And listen, and Michael Clayton was a really good player.
Tampa Bay, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good player in his time frame, but, man, you look at his run-after-catch skills, and it's just his competitiveness. And you saw it today. Just look at his face, and I can tell a little bit, and some people get upset with this. You could see Curtis Johnson talking to him, and he sort of side-saddles Curtis, almost like he's listening in. And a lot of people get upset if you don't look him eye-to-eye. My thing is, I've been around a lot of people. I've looked them eye to eye, and they've lied to me. You know?
Right.
So, you can see he is listening to what, you know, Coach Johnson was trying to tell him on what he should be doing. But it's his focus. And I know in talking to Ed about it, he's like, Mike, in practice, he is as competitive a guy as you will find. And he is just focused laser-like into being the best player he can be. And, man, he's pieced together. He's got great leaping skills. But the thing that jumps out at me is his competitive nature. And out on the field, his run-after-catch skills. We saw it in 2019. He goes up, make a tackle. They got three guys around him. He shakes them, and he takes off, and he's out in the open field. Listen, you can't average 21 yards a catch. And I'm talking about look who he goes against. 21 yards a catch. That jumps out at you that guy is a special football player. And to think, man, you know, this state at one time had him, Devontae Smith from Emeet, Terrace Marshall, Racy McMath, DeJuan Dixon, who's at Nicholls State, who's a tremendous football player, had some academic issues, but, you know, he would have been a big league type guy too there. Marquez Stevenson, who was from North Louisiana, he went to Houston, and he's going to get drafted. You think about the young man from Memphis. So his state is so full of really good receivers. While I hear DBU all the time at LSU, and it is true, they produce a lot of defensive backs. Man, look at the wide receivers. Last 5 years in the state of Louisiana, they have produced 68 Division One wideouts in 5 years.
Whoa.
If you look at receivers, you don't have to go too very far to find them. They got them here.
NFL draft analyst Mike Dettillier here until 7 o'clock. I see you, Jay, in Brooklyn. I'll let you talk to Mike in a few moments. If you got a couple of questions for Mike Dettillier, fire away at 504-260-1870. He's Bobby. I'm Christian. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Less than a month away from the NFL draft, welcome back to Sports Talk. We have our draft analyst, Mike Dettillier, on the line with us right now. Jay in Brooklyn, what's going on, Jay? He's got a question for Mike. Fire away, Jay.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I got two quick questions for you, Mr. Distillier. I'm a huge David Collins fan, and I'd love to see him in the black and gold. Why do the scouts have Michael Parsons ranked higher than him? And not available.
Jay, say that again because you cut out.
Okay, I want to know, why do the scouts have Mike Parsons ranked higher than Zaven Collins in the draft grade? And, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, give me a second one.
Okay, the second one is, if Greg Newsom's not available, who would you rather feel more comfortable with on the outside at cornerback? D'Amador Lenore from Oregon or Asante Samuel?
Okay.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I got both of them. I'll answer the second question first. If Newsom's off the board, that would mean you got four cornerbacks gone, and that would be Surtain, that would be J.C. Horn, that would be Caleb Farley, and then Newsom. My number five guy is Tyson Campbell from University of Georgia, who I think may be the most athletic of the five. He just has not hit the high notes out on the field as much as those other four have. But athletically, he may be the most athletic of the five of them. It never really came around for him. While he was a good player, he wasn't a dominating player. He got coached in high school by Patrick Surtain. At one time, that school had Tyson Campbell and Patrick Surtain in the same secondary. So at American Heritage High School out in Florida. So that I would feel very comfortable with Tyson out at corner. Really would. I like his size. His foot speed's tremendous. He needs a little bit of work. But, man, that's why you got a guy like Chris Richard to come in, you know, to work with him and kind of smooth out some of the rough parts of his game. I'm a big fan of Zaven Collins, I'll be honest with you, from Tulsa. And he's a guy that would be very difficult for me to pass. He can play outside. He can play in the middle. He's a former quarterback, wide receiver, safety, linebacker. He did all that in high school. But he was mainly a quarterback. And he grew out of that body pretty well. Really good in the coverage phase. And he's a 240-pound linebacker who can cover. There's not a lot of those guys out there that can do it that well. He's really good in run defense. They didn't use him a lot as an edge pass rusher. And so he's got that potential there, too. Michael Parsons just is an athlete in another stratosphere. He's a big-time player from a foot speed, quickness, athletic standpoint, more than what Zaven is. And so I think Collins is a guy that from 24 to, say, 30, that's where he's going to get picked, which is right around the time the Saints would select.
Right.
But his coverage skills are so good. And we remember, okay, man, Tulsa comes back and they tie this game. They put it in overtime against Tulane. And he intercepts the pass. And listen, he ain't no 190-pound defensive back.
240,
right? He's a 240-pound man. Yeah. He intercepts the pass and takes it back. So I would have no issue with Zaven. And I think he's a multi-player type performer because he could play both in the middle and also out on the edge. And he's a three-down linebacker. I don't have to take him out on third down because he can cover so well.
And, you know, Mike, along those lines, my understanding, a reigning Butkus Award winner, so you look at the size and the speed, like, say, 240 pounds, he's kind of a freak when you think about run sideline to sideline. And like you said, could play every down being that stout.
Yeah, and, you know, you and I talked about this. How many defensive backs turn into that type? How many quarterbacks turn into that type player? You and I always talk about John Lynch because John did it. You know, John was a former quarterback in high school, and he played safety, you know, and he's in the NFL Hall of Fame. And I'm not saying that about Collins, but the fact of the matter is he is a big-time player, and everybody on that Tulsa coaching staff will tell you if they talk about the toughest, smartest guy they have on that football team, that finger gets pointed toward him. No, I want a guy that football matters to him. I'm not playing it, you know, okay, we all do things for money. But you got to love the game today.
Right.
Because you're getting beat up pretty good. And he loves to play. He was not a widely recruited athlete. I mean, he was a guy, you end up at Tulsa, and nothing against Tulsa, but, you know, he didn't go.
Well, no, he didn't go to Oklahoma State. Come on.
Texas or A&M. He didn't go to those schools. He ends up at Tulsa. And a lot of that having to do with the fact, and he'll tell you, because I played so many positions, they weren't really sure where I best fit. Because at first, when he got recruited to Tulsa, they wanted him to play safety. But, his weight sort of settled that issue. And he's not a big, like a heavy guy. I mean, he's well fit. But he packs that 240 pounds on pretty good. But it's his speed and his quickness and his ability to cover that's impressive.
Now, Mike, this might be a trick question. It's not a trick question, but, you know, what happens week in and week out before the draft? No Jack Rabbit. He's now with the Tennessee Titans. You look at Marshawn Lattimore, what he's dealing with, possession of a stolen gun. That is a felony in Ohio. You could plea bargain, and it'd be interesting to see what's going to come about. But the NFL trying to protect the shield, it would seem like that Marshawn Lattimore would not be ready for game one. I don't know if it's a two-game or four-game suspension. So does that come into play with the Saints pick at cornerback? Because are we going to go with, I don't know, P.J. Williams and Patrick Robinson at starting cornerback? To me, that was monumental considering what happened with Lattimore going forward. And then when the season's just around the corner for 2021.
Bob, you're going to have to bring in a veteran. You're going to have to draft one. But in round one, I'm not going to reach for a player.
Okay.
You know, man, listen, I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to $1 million on scouting. I'm going to kind of trust the board a little bit here, you know, because basically if I don't, I'm throwing all that out the window. Now, they did have a coach like that here once already with Mike Ditka, because Mike didn't care what the scouts told him.
He wanted to go play golf.
I'm picking who I want, and then after it's over with. No, listen, he told us that. It's so funny. Draft day, they pick Ricky Williams, and Mike had a difficult time getting on stage because it was so high. Man, they lifted him up. He was like Julius Caesar. They picked him up, put him on stage. Man, he puts his arms up. Man, the people going nuts and all that. The first thing he tells me is, he says, is your uncle playing golf tomorrow? my uncle used to play golf with him. So, listen, that was his deal. He was going to play golf. But in essence, Mike did what he wanted to do. And there are coaches. And Sean, you know, listen, he's got some stroke in that war room too now. You know, if he wants somebody, he's going to get him. But you kind of want to set yourself up where you don't have to necessarily grab that position, because that's when you make a mistake, because you've spent so much time and effort and money involved in putting up that board.
NFL draft analyst Mike Dettillier here on Sports Talk. Mike, who's the second quarterback off the board as you see it?
Oh, that's easy. Zach Wilson from BYU. I think Zach's the guy. I think he'll end up in New York with the Jets. The Jets will deal off Sam Darnold as it gets closer to draft time, if not draft day itself. And at three, I think the 49ers are going to go with Trey Lance from North Dakota State.
Whoa.
Jimmy G would be the bridge. And it's very similar to what – remember when Kansas City had Alex Smith and sort of redshirted him?
And Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes is there, you know, okay? And so he passed the torch. You look at Trey, man, he sort of tilts the field as a player, as a runner, as a passer. You know, he played 19 games and threw zero pass interceptions in 2019. Zero. And I mean, listen, again,
That's hard not to do. you throw at least one pick.
Yeah, you're going to have a bad throw. And I think Trey's the guy. And Kyle Shanahan does a great job with quarterbacks. He just really does. All the time, he's been able to get that guy to take his game to another level. So you would have a guy in Garoppolo, and he's playing for something. at this stage, okay? I'm playing for going somewhere else in 2022, but Trey, man, is a special talent as a quarterback, but he's not ready for prime time yet. And I think Kyle understands that, and that's why they gave up what they did to get him. The big question mark for me is what happens at four? Because now you've got a team in Atlanta who desperately needs defensive help. But would the lure be to grab that young quarterback, if it's Justin Fields, if it's Mac Jones, to grab him there? Because I know what the cost is going to be to get a quarterback down the road. But Atlanta, we know they can score. The problem is, can they stop anyone? And that's the dilemma at four, of where do you go at that point with this. And they may be a target team for another team looking to grab up a quarterback. And you can see four quarterbacks come off the board.
That's what I asked you, Mike. When you look at the quarterbacks, would you say you'd be shocked? Because I think I would be if you don't have at least four out of the top ten.
Have five.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. Four, if not five. Yeah,
you probably have five in the top ten because Carolina's looking for a quarterback, and I can't see Atlanta deal that pick to Carolina. That deal is, hey, you do what you got to do, but I'm not dealing it to you unless you make me an unbelievable offer. And I've always felt, now, I don't know what's going to happen with all this legal stuff with Deshaun Watson, that the team that would have ammo to get Watson would be the Panthers, that they could piece something together to do it. But, man, now, who knows what's going to happen with Deshaun at this particular stage. So all I know is,
yeah,
you know,
like Governor
you,
Cuomo
you
in New York.
It.
Yeah.
It's
like,
you always laugh about it, that quarterbacking trumps everything. We fixing to see it. No matter what, it's still, do you have one or do you not have one? And those teams trading up early, they're not going to pick a receiver or a tackle. They're picking a quarterback.
And, you know, Mike, you might say, well, Abe, are you crazy? You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Christian could tell me that you could take. But I can tell you right now, when I look at Matt Ryan, what I still think he has left in the tank, Matt Ryan, okay, let's see if you could say it right now. Would you take Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill over Matt Ryan? I would tell you no freaking way. Right now, okay, this upcoming season, Matt Ryan with a Sean Payton offense and where he's at. I think Jameis can have success. So if Atlanta poo-poos Matt Ryan, I think they're crazy. Matt Ryan's not the freaking problem why the Falcons have not done anything. That's my opinion.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is there's going to be a team to blink here, okay? Okay, I know those three quarterbacks are coming off the board. I've got to get me a quarterback. I got to move up to get him. There's going to be a team that can offer Atlanta a lot. And for me, if I'm Terry Fontenot, I know I'm not one player away from competing against the Bucs or the Saints.
Right.
I'm not one defensive player away. I'm a couple guys away at this point. And I might think about moving down if it's four spots, five spots. I get me, you know, a couple of defensive players in this draft and a future pick maybe later on. So I think Atlanta becomes the catbird seat team sitting at four, where you got an opportunity here to control because you know what's going to happen with the first three picks. It's the big question mark is, you don't necessarily need a quarterback today, but I need defense today.
Right.
And so I might think about seriously dealing that pick off.
NFL analyst Mike Dettillier will step away and come back. If you got a question for Mike, feel free at 504-260-1870. Bobby and Christian here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Mike Dettillier alongside the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Mike, Jabril Cox at LSU, where do you have him going?
Second round. I think he's tailor-made for the game today. Man, you know, just to watch, see him in, up close. He looks like a big, strong safety. You know, you see him, you say, man, that guy's a football player. But you say, guess the position, because he's thin waist. You know, he's not a real huge guy. He's an outside linebacker that can cover. And he can put that body in reverse. I think he's terrific in the coverage part of the game. Where I saw a difference, and it goes to show you a little bit, at North Dakota State, he rarely missed a tackle. Now, he was always sort of high with his tackles, but he rarely missed it. In the SEC, in run defense, he was high on tackles. They got away from him. Now, we sent a man to the moon, so I can sort of direct him a little bit lower as a better tackler guy. You know, that's, to me, not a major issue, but his coverage skills, and he didn't work out today. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. But I think he's an early second-round pick. Supply and demand tells me there aren't a lot of linebackers who are 6'3" that can cover like he can. And so he even could sneak into round one, but I think he's going to be an early second-round pick. His coverage skills at linebacker, I don't have to take him off the field. That's the best part about it. And I think he can improve as a tackler and get a little bit stronger, but his strike point is a little high. And you can get away with that at North Dakota State. Guess what?
Yeah.
In the SEC, you ain't getting away with that. Them cats, they're gonna toss you off, or he would take a bat and he'd overrun a play. You can get better with that. So I think he's a second-round pick. I think the big question mark is Jacoby Stevens. The reason I say it is a lot of people get upset if you say he's a hybrid player. That's exactly what he is. And the NFL today is a hybrid defense.
Man, so what? You all kinda... Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is hybrid. I mean, well, why are you against that? That's the way the game has changed. Come on.
But they got people who are old school with it and that they want to see what they saw as a kid in their grandpa's world. With that's over. You know, that's over with. I think Jacoby is much better as a hybrid linebacker, and he playing him close to the line of scrimmage. He's a great athlete in a straight line. He can run. He's got great speed, tremendous leaping skills, that sort of thing. He played wide receiver as a freshman at LSU. Where I see a little kink in his game is his ability to adjust in reverse on the deeper plays. I think you play him as that hybrid linebacker, strong safety, close to the line of scrimmage, and I know Dave Aranda and Coach O both said it. Man, where he's underrated is how good pressure he can get as a blitzer. So, okay, he's 215 pounds.
So,
in
you
that
put
range.
Him in the box, though. But
you
Mike,
put him in the box.
Yeah, put him in the box.
And get him to a spot where he's in the coverage part of the game, but it's in front of him.
Right, so it's not behind him, yep.
Right. So I think he's a middle-round pick. I think he's a good football player. He's going to have to kind of go in the right spot for it to click with him. But we see it so much today that you're in nickel and dime and guys coming in and out constantly that, man, I wouldn't take that offensively if somebody says you're a hybrid player, because that's the way defenses are in the NFL today. And I like him better up front, where I think he can become that type guy to match up with a back or a tight end coming off the line of scrimmage. But also, too, his ability to get in the backfield as a pass rusher is really good. Yeah, I mean, it's really good. And I think it's sort of untapped, that potential for him. And, I like him as a player.
Now, Mike, I'm going to go a little off topic because I've been, I don't know, holding this. I want your opinion. And you might think I'm crazy. Or you might say, like, well, you know what? I've thought about that. To me, for the Dolphins to have all their eggs in the basket with Tua, I think is a mistake. You might say, you know, who's the upcoming, you know, always the rookie class and what Tua accomplished at Alabama. I think Mac Jones is better. I just think he's a better pro prospect considering what you're going to ask of him and what he's going to achieve. Now, we got to wait and see what's going to occur. You know, you got to look at Tua's career. You got to look at Mac Jones. But am I far-fetched? Because I look at Tua in Miami, you might say, supporting cast. Miami had a playoff-type team. Fitzmagic was the guy who's now with the Washington football team to be their quarterback, who truly gave the Dolphins a chance. But I thought Tua was like an NFL quarterback, but not that much of a difference maker. And I just look at Mac Jones very Tom Brady-like, if that makes sense. What Mac Jones did at Alabama in 1 year, to me, was freaking unbelievable how accurate he was and his pocket presence. And he wasn't like a slow stiff. He ran like a 4.7 40. I mean, to me, Mac Jones, would you say I'm far-fetched if I could look in the crystal ball the next handful of years that Mac Jones might be better than Tua, even though you look at Alabama quarterbacks and winning national championships, what are they going to achieve at the professional level?
I would say you might be right, but I'll go with Tua. And here's my thing.
Okay, that's fair.
And this is what I'll say. Some people's learning curve at that position is a little bit, you know, sharper than others. I do think what I don't know, and no one else does other than Tua and maybe Flores and the people involved with the Dolphins, is the hip injury. And
that makes sense. Yep.
Did that have some effect on him last year? Now, you know, you're well over that particular time frame. And so I just think, yeah, Tua is such an accurate passer. Now, Mac is too. I'm not trying to take anything away from him.
Right, he's very accurate.
But, man, you know, Mac put up a season. I never thought I'd see something like what I saw with Burrow, and I saw it back-to-back years.
Yes.
You know, with Burrow and Mac. Joe was a better runner. Come on, you got to cut that
That's
particular
right.
part. That Joe Burrow was a better runner than Mac is. Now, Mac didn't have to. You know, to be honest,
right.
But I think that they know what they have in Tua, and that he's got great leadership skills. I can't teach accuracy, and I think he's got that part, and he's a leader. But what I can't tell you is that hip injury, which is serious, was serious. He was able to bounce back from, man, God bless you when you're young, that you can come back from something like that quickly. How much effect did that have on him a year? I don't know that, you know, and no one else does other than him and probably people in the Dolphins organization. But you're right about one thing. If there was any question mark, this would have been the year that they could have set themselves up to pick another quarterback if they wanted it.
Right.
But they felt very confident Tua's their guy. And now I think what they're going to do is say, okay, let's surround you with people. So who falls to them? If it's Jamar or Kyle Pitts, you know, I don't know if that'll happen. But if I got a chance at either one of them two guys, I'm picking them. And then on my back end for the Dolphins, I need a running back, Najee Harris from Alabama. So now I've given him some tools here, and I didn't throw him in, but Devontae Smith also, you got to look at him. With that early first-round pick. So
right.
You got a lot of options there. Bob, it's not far-fetched, but if it were me, I would go with Tua. I think if he's healthy, he's a guy that can be a difference-maker at quarterback. He showed it in spurts last year, but he wasn't consistent.
Man, he wasn't as good as Fitzmagic. Fitzmagic came against the Raiders, and they gave him a chance. Come on. Tua was so conservative. He reminded me of an old NFL quarterback, like back when I was playing at the end of my career, and he just dumping it off. He just trying to make something positive. He went. Fitzmagic came. Watch that Raiders game, Dolphins
Late.
Raiders. Mike, yeah. Fitzmagic was unbelievable that game.
Now, if I can surround Tua with some talent now,
right?
Better talent. Then I can gauge that particular deal well. Here's this, I think, what, man, kind of skews the grade on Tua. How good Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert was last year.
Right, amen.
You look at them guys and you say, wow, how come he's not doing that?
Amen.
That's because you sort of grading him off of the other rookie quarterbacks.
NFL analyst Mike Dettillier will wrap up with him next. Jimmy and Kentwood, Under the Tank, I'll see you, and we'll try to get to you. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Man, we haven't heard from this guy, Jimmy, in Kentwood, under the tank in forever. I'm glad to hear from him.
Jimmy.
We'll put him on with NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. Jimmy, what's up, man?
Hey, Jimmy, this is like you calling for the draft, and you get to talk to the great Mike Dettillier. Jimmy, what's up in Kentwood?
Oh, the same old thing.
What you got, Jimmy? Come on, bring it.
Look, I want to talk about Devontae Smith. Look, that's my brother-in-law, grandson.
Oh, your brother-in-law, grandson. Let me tell you, Devontae Smith, that's a travesty he left Louisiana to go play for Alabama. But I give him a lot of credit. What he occurred to help Alabama beat Georgia as a freshman and what he did, I mean, he's truly amazing, Jimmy. Mike, you would agree with that.
Mike, you got about 3 minutes.
Right there in Tangipahoa.
I saw a player like Devontae growing up in the 70s. His name was Lynn Swann.
Whoa, Lynn Swann, Devontae, I like
that. No, that's who Devontae reminds me of, Lynn Swann, when he was coming out of USC. I mean, that's the guy you would compare him to.
Jimmy, thanks for the phone call. Mike Dettillier, how can folks get your draft book?
Okay, we'll have it out. Hopefully sometime next week we'll get it in, and they can go on to MikeDettillier.com, also SaintsReport.com, and like I said, we'll get it sometime middle, later part of next week, and we'll have it out.
Yeah, Mike, you have to send me a copy, you know, because I always use your book compared to everyone else. Come on, you got to help me out.
Well, that yellow marker at least is safe for now.
Okay. All right, but you got to get it to me. You know how much I appreciate
that. I'm
going to
get it to you. You know that.
One more thing. Over and under, and how many highlighters Bobby uses in your book and also on draft day?
I'm going to say four.
Oh, that's right on. Oh, no.
I think it would be four.
No, you're right on. Mike, that is right on, and I always look forward to put those highlighters because I appreciate all the work you do. And it helped us have a great draft show and the prediction what the Saints are going to do. But, Mike, before we let you run.
Got about a minute.
Wouldn't you be disappointed if the Saints, I don't care who in the hell is the quarterback, because you look at the structure now, the setback with Lattimore at cornerback, be interested to see what's going to happen. But I still think now we're playing 17 games. I think Sean Payton and the organization, because of the roster, should we be at least 10-7? Come on.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree. I agree with you. But you're not the front runner anymore.
No, we're not. Yeah, we're not.
You're not the front runner anymore.
We'll be a wild card. Yeah.
Which position?
Fellow analyst Mike Dettillier. Enjoyed it, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike.
You bet. Phone lines are open as well at 504-260-1870. Going to get our NASCAR report with Tim Zimmer next hour. What was that? What was the name of that racetrack that was absolutely flooded because of the? It was a dirt track.
No, in Bristol, in Tennessee, they brought in the dirt and all that, and then it rained. It was a flood in Nashville, and then it dries. You know, when you have that clay and it dries, then you have the dust. No, this is unbelievable what NASCAR put forward, and I'm looking forward to talk about Tim Zimmer with this.
And Jake Madison next hour as well.
Yeah. So NBA, we get the Pelicans, and also NASCAR. So stay tuned because this is going to be very interesting.
Bobby and Christian Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.